Thursday, March 19th, 2015. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, today, we're going to talk about something that really hits home for so many of us. And really what I'm talking about here is what to do when you don't have the time to hunt for new business. Now, this week's episode is brought to you by our 40 Ways to Warm Up Your Cold Calls webinar. So let's go ahead and pay the bills. I think if you're like most salespeople that are out there today, cold calling is not your most favorite thing in the world to do. I also think there's a lot of people listening to this right now who are struggling with getting results on the phone. And yet we know the phone is a major part of business today. And to make matters worse, you have a lot of studies out there right now that are pointing to how ineffective cold calling is. You have one from LeapJob claiming that cold calls are 98% ineffective. You have a similar one from IBM that was released coming in at about 97%. And it really made me wonder, how much of that is the cold call's fault? And it also made me want to ask you, forgive me for being a little direct, when was the last time you embraced some additional cold calling ideas? Now, I have over 40 ideas that I'm going to be sharing on Tuesday, March 24th, including how you can leverage 4 missed opportunities on the phone, 9 triggers that can dramatically increase the odds of you setting an appointment. I will also tell you it's the same 9 triggers and the same concept that studies have shown increases the probability of closing by over 400%. Also, we're going to be talking about how you can create a more compelling message. That's, you know, I wish I could tell you it was an objection-proof type of message, man, I'd be pretty rich right now. But I can certainly help you create one that's objection resistant, certainly more objection resistant than the message that you have right now. 5 things that you had better be doing with your LinkedIn network that will dramatically, and I feel like we should go all caps, dramatically warm up your cold calls. We're also going to talk about how you can create a 3-touch mini campaign to help you stand out immediately. There's obviously a lot more to that, but I didn't want to take up the whole podcast talking about it. But here's what you'll get if you join us. You're going to get the webinar with over 40 tips. We're going to actually spend about 90 minutes together in this webinar. Obviously, some worksheets so that you can follow along, never miss a beat. You're going to get a recording of the webinar, slides and all. You guys know how I like to roll with that. A detailed PDF afterwards that's going to reinforce the points that we made and really expand upon them and offer some additional suggestions. And then the other thing, which really comes along with any webinar or course that you participate in that I'm offering, is email access to me. So if you have any questions or any thoughts, or if you want to bounce an idea off of me, you're certainly going to have that access. Now, to learn more, and of course to reserve your spot, which you're going to need to do soon, because we're going to be doing this in less than a week on Tuesday, March 24th, so probably now would be a really good time, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/warm calls. yoursalesplaybook.com/warm calls. Okay, so our topic this week is what to do when you don't have time to hunt. Now, there are 3 drivers of sales success. And before I tell you what they are, you have to become absolutely obsessed with these 3 drivers in order to, at a minimum, keep your job, right? I mean, like, how cool would that be? But in order to really to get to the next level, to hit that level of sales rock stardom, which I'm hoping that's why we're all here hanging out together right now, not because of my bubbly personality. But anyway, the first thing that you want to do is obviously you want to hunt for business. You have to hunt for business. The second thing is that you never want to be so concentrated or so focused on bringing business in the front door that you're losing a lot of business out the back door. So you need to retain and wow the existing clients that you have. I think we would all agree That's a pretty damn important thing. And last but not least, you want to be able to grow existing business, maybe expand into other locations, other departments, get other product lines in there. You guys get the deal. So the challenge for many of us is that we're hanging out on that second driver a lot, which is retaining and servicing and hopefully trying to create those wows. And in everyone's defense, hopefully we're also spending time trying to grow that existing business. But no matter how we slice it, sometimes there comes a point where we're just not able to put the artillery fire on hunting for new business. So this week, I have six ideas for you that I'm hoping will open up some opportunity, help you maybe see a little bit more time in your schedule so that you can keep hunting for business. So without further ado, let's get down to business. Let's talk about item number one. And feel free to give me like a big fat duh, Uncle Paul, on this one. But you know how it is. I mean, you might know this. You might have heard it a million times. Doesn't mean you're doing it. So item number one, look at your time management. I'm laughing because we're probably a lot more alike than we all give each other credit for. But anytime I think of time management and somebody wants to tell me to track my time, I just about always respond to that with an eye roll. But they happen to be absolutely right. And I remember taking a course, geez, it was probably about 10 years ago. And what made it kind of awkward is that one of these instructors was reporting to me at the time. And I was in this person's class. And meanwhile, they report to me. I mean, that's kind of like an interesting dynamic, right? And they were talking about time management. And they give the assignment to track our time for a week. And I have a really bad poker face sometimes. I don't know about you guys, but I have a horrible poker face. And I must have just been giving her like a really foul look. And she goes, okay, smartass, for you, Castain, you get to do it 2 weeks. So I had to do it 2 weeks. So now because of that, I believe in payback. My suggestion to you guys, because I had to do it for 2 weeks, you guys got to do it for 2 weeks. But what's really better about doing it for 2 weeks is that tracking your time for 2 weeks gives you a better feel for trends and things that are continually happening. But you know what? One of the things I recommend is that you don't just track your time. You track your time with a few missions and goals in mind. The first thing is just be on the lookout and jot it down and jot every one of them down as you go along. Any time wasters that are happening. And time wasters can be self-imposed. It could be coworker imposed. It could be boss imposed. It could be, I mean, we can go on and on and on. But I want you to be mindful of it. Just jot it down and how much time you're wasting on it. And just keep an open mind. I mean, I've had people come back to me. I swear to you. And I remember doing a class a few years ago. And when we were talking about examples of different time wasters, somebody said something. And all of us laughed at this poor person. I mean, that makes me just a horrible trainer. I know, but it was just so damn funny. And this guy even laughed at himself. And I'll tell you what we did after we got done laughing. But the guy said, well, you know, a big time waster for me is, you know, watching the coffee brew or like watching the microwave. And we all laughed because it was just hysterical. And then we were like, but we've all done that at one point. So it's like silly stuff like that you got to be on the lookout for. And then not so silly stuff. But the other thing too is you also want to look at interruptions. And you've heard me say this a million times, and it is one of my pet statistics that I just beat you guys to death with. You have to know that right now the average American is losing about 2.1 hours a day to interruptions. And interruptions are, it could be both good, it could be bad. It could be all those emails that we're checking each and every day. I think you've also heard me mention that the average person right now is checking their smartphone about 150 times a day. It could be coworkers, it could be your boss, it could be all kinds of scenarios, right? It could be this need to answer every call, no matter what we're doing, stop what we're doing and doing that. And then remember that when it comes to an interruption, it's not just the amount of time that we lose just embracing that interruption. it's also the time getting the momentum back to where it was. So I want you to track that as well. And then the other thing that I want you to watch for is, and it's a very important thing when you're looking at your time and how you're spending it, many times we're looking for these big ahas, right? We're looking for these big violations of our time, like an hour or like even a half an hour, even 15 and 20 minutes. Those things, I'm here to tell you, usually, not every time, are these huge blurbs on the radar screen. You can usually see them, and you usually stop yourself from going too long. But what I want you to, I mean, look for those things, but what I want you to really beware of are all the little 3 and 5 minute things and the 2 minute things and the 6 minute things, because when you add them up throughout the day, it could really turn into a substantial amount of time. When you multiply it by 5 working days, and then you multiply it by a month and a quarter and a year, my goodness, you could be talking about weeks that you're losing every single month. And finally, the only other thing that I just want to say about the time management thing is that when you're tracking your time, remember that statistic that I mentioned to you, that the average American or the average person, right, doesn't matter if you're American or not. I don't even know why the hell they put that in the damn study, probably because they studied Americans. But anyway, the average person losing 2.1 hours a day, I would throw down a challenge for you. And instead of looking at it as 2.1 hours a day, and it could be, it could actually be more for you, what you want to do is do this time tracking exercise with the goal in mind that you're going to find a way to liberate 1 hour of your day back so that you can put that back onto hunting somehow. And you don't even have to do the full hour a day. What if you could find another 20 or 30 minutes a day that you could put toward hunting? And just to be clear, so nobody gets turned off, you might have, when you heard me say hunting a few times, you might be thinking automatically that it's like, oh my God, it's cold calling and cold calling sucks. Well, who says it has to be that? Why is suddenly, or not even suddenly, why is it that we embrace the cold call as like the only thing? Could you be sending emails? Could you be sending some snail mail? I mean, there's a variety of LinkedIn activity. So there's a lot of things that we could be doing with that time. So don't avoid doing this exercise just because you think that it's, oh great, now I got to pick up the damn phone and talk to idiots all day. No, there's a lot of things that you could be doing. The next thing that I want you to do is I just want you to do a little bit of, as the late Zig Ziglar would say, a checkup from the neck up. I want you to just ask yourself an honest question. And this is a tough one because it's one of those moments, you've heard me say it before, where you got to tell the ego to go wait in the car. Are you busy because it's client imposed, or are you busy because it's self-imposed? Big difference there. And let's start with the client. Well, actually, yeah, let's start with the client imposed. I'm saving the self-imposed for last. But if it's client imposed, you might want to consider having a proactive discussion. I call it a proactive discussion, by the way, because many times when we have to correct something with another person. Now, and let me be clear. If you have some clients that are just really taking a lot of your time, you're not going to call them up and say, yeah, thanks, jackass, for taking up my time. Like, isn't it bad enough that, like, you beat me up on my price? You're not going to have that discussion. But if you have people that might be a little demanding of your time and they insist on, like, these immediate, like, responses and everything else, you might need to have, like, a little come-to-Jesus meeting with them. And it doesn't have to be anything that's nasty or confrontational, but I do believe that it needs to be done in a proactive manner. And what I mean by that, that's just a fancy way of saying, try not to address it as the behavior is occurring. Why? Because all of us are really emotionally attached to our behavior as we are engaged in that behavior. But if we talk to someone before it happens again, I have found that people take it less personally. And of course, you package it in the right way. And what you might want to say to them is just, especially if it's somebody who's very demanding of your time and that you get back to them right away, just mention to them, hey, listen, you know, I'm not going MIA on you here, but it's not practical for me to stop what I'm doing. And it's really disrespectful to my other clients to interrupt a meeting with them just to get back to you very, very quickly. So what I promise you that I'll always do is that I'll always get back to you and just come up with a reasonable period of time to get back to them. But the point is that for you to continue stopping what you're doing, you're getting a whole lot of nothing done, and those interruptions are killing you. So, and probably a lot more than you realize, because when you do that time tracking exercise, you're going to have some major ahas. I promise you when you do that. So that's one of the things that you want to do. I would also say that if you have a situation or a bunch of, you know, scenarios that are client imposed, and I'm not trying to be nasty here. Some of you are going to say, oh my God, this guy Castain is such, you know, just a nasty bastard here. Consider giving your low income, high time investment accounts to someone on your team. I mean, seriously, if you have those accounts that are just, and I know how some of you feel, that you think that, no, if I just go and I service the hell out of them, I can grow that business and everything else. But the thing of it is, if they're taking your time and you've been working on them for a long time and they're just sucking so much of your time out of you, and they're just not high revenue accounts, I'm here to tell you, and I really want you to think about this for a minute, there is a newbie on your team that will rename their children after you for just letting them inherit those accounts. And I also think that you're going to be pretty, you know, so much better for that experience, not just because it's goodwill, but because you're freeing up your time. You could even, maybe, and this one is going to be a little bit difficult. In fact, I just want to go there right now. I was just beating around the bush. We're just going to go there. Let's just talk a little bit about self-imposed busyness, and especially when it comes to a client. Many salespeople, and I've seen this amongst the top performers, by the way, we have this thing in sales that, well, if we want to do it right, I got to do it myself. And we have got to get better at delegating things. And the best way for you to get better at it is to challenge your own limiting beliefs and the belief that it's all about you and that you're the only one who can do it right. Hey, you know what? I don't know your setup and your situation. You might be 100% spot on. I'm just saying, would you just humor me and challenge yourself on that? It could be your own belief system. Many times, too, it's a situation that maybe you could just train somebody internally to be able to help you. But then it's like, well, I don't have the time to do that. Well, it's never going to be the right time. So maybe you need to just bite the bullet, take a few casualties, and then go on and win the war. So that's something that you might want to think about. The other thing, and this one is going to be really tough for many of you to swallow, I want you to know that sometimes being busy is just a fancy avoidance technique, and it's a form of procrastination. Of course you're busy. We're all busy. But sometimes we'd rather be busy than get our ass kicked on a phone or get rejected in an email. Just understand that your brain is wired to just keep you in complete supply and provide you with no shortage of things to keep you away from things that make you uncomfortable. Perhaps that could be it. Remember, one of my other pet statistics and studies is this whole thing on procrastination. They've done studies on this, and they found, and it's going to be no surprise to you, that at the core of it, it's a fear and a disbelief that we could get the task at hand done. And maybe being busy keeps you away from facing the truth. So not here to get everybody pissed off at me this week, but you know me, sometimes we got to embrace a little bit of tough love. So I want you to just keep in mind. The other thing, too, as far as self-imposed, some of you believe that you absolutely have to jump every time a client calls and every time they send you an email. And I'm going to confess right now and tell you something about me, and I bet you half of you just hightail it on out of here. You're not going to like me very much. But shooting straight with you, I don't do that. And I have some really high-level clients. I have some Fortune 500s. Now, right away, you guys might be thinking in extremes, like, oh, man, that's a real crappy way to treat your clients. What's a crappy way to treat your clients? Not jumping every second and whatever. It's actually quite respectful to my clients because I refuse to be sitting in a meeting with Jason and have my eye on my phone, and every time it goes, I've got to go and grab it. Or I refuse then to have to then break my concentration because I don't want to check the phone in front of Jason, knowing that, oh man, I probably have somebody I have to respond to right away. It's ridiculous. So what I do when I am when I'm prospecting and I'm just hitting the phones or whatever it is, I have a rule, and my rule is I will not take an inbound call when I'm making an outbound call. Exceptions to the rule: when I know that maybe there is a potential fire that could be happening. Maybe I have a project I'm working on. Maybe there's important information that is really timely. It could be, and I've mentioned this before, if I have, which happens many times, I have maybe a speaking engagement that week, and all of a sudden I'm in the process of making some calls, and I look on my smartphone, and there is this account calling me. I'm thinking it's probably timely, and I should take the call. But for everybody else, I check messages and I check emails on the hour. And that keeps me very, very focused, because I'm just going to tell you at some point, folks, and please hear me when I say this, this insanity has to stop. It is getting to points of like ridiculous, where we can't get a minute or two to ourselves, where we cannot get like a minute or two of focus on a project without the phone going off and without the email. Now, hey, let's stop for a minute. Poor Paul, his phone's always going off, right? That's a real like crappy problem to have, or whatever it is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this need that we have to continually stop what we're doing and serve and serve and serve. And I'm telling you, it doesn't make you a bad person if you get back to people on the hour, or if you get back to people in a few hours. And you know what, too? Just before I forget, you know, part of having discussions with clients that might be taking up a lot of your time is in that proactive discussion idea. I just want to go back on that, because I really didn't finish one thought, and I'm sorry. It's my ADD kicking in again. But, you know, part of that is going back and having just a real honest conversation with them, and maybe helping them set a better level of expectations with you. Just like mutually set expectations. But to me, for someone to expect, unless it's just that's the nature of what you do for a living, for people to expect that you're going to get back to them immediately is unrealistic. And I'm going to tell you, in the time that I've had my business, I haven't had it happen too many times. It's probably been in the 4 years that I've owned Castain Training Systems, about a half a dozen times, where I had to have a heart-to-heart with some clients who were emailing me on the weekend, by the way, and then getting pissed off that not only did I not get back to them on the weekend, but like all of a sudden I'm not kidding you, like a forwarded message like an hour and a half later. It's like, are you kidding me? It's an hour and a half later and it's Saturday. And P.S. I mean, when did we start having training emergencies? You know, Dr. Castain wanted in the training room. I mean, seriously. So I had to have a heart to heart, and literally with the relationships I have with my clients, I can break balls like that and kid around with them. I wanted them to see just how crazy that was. And I also wanted to hear them out and understand what in the hell was so important that you had to like email me twice within a 90-minute period on a Saturday. Just help me to understand it, so that, you know, if I need to work with you a little bit, which working with you a little bit is not going to be on Saturday, but you know, I'll try to meet you in there somewhere, but help me to understand it. So I think that's really, really important that you do that. So the other thing now that you might want to consider doing, let's go on to item number three, because I beat the hell out of that, is I want you to get real superstitious really fast. I need you to understand that when you are not hunting, you're vulnerable. And because if you lose accounts for any variety of reasons, and there are a lot of reasons out there that you might not even be considering. I mean, do things last forever? Because I don't think they do. And all kinds of weird things can happen. You're screwed, because depending on how long your sales cycle is, imagine having to start over. And I've known salespeople who have done that. And I also want to tell you that right now you're listening to someone who not only was screwed, but screwed over his family for an entire decade trying to dig his family out of the mess that he created. When I lost my business back in 1995, I wasn't hunting. Remember, I told you guys, I was a real arrogant SOB. I had DuPont. I had Miracle-Gro. I had brought in a lot of business. My book of business that I had was about $2.5 million. And it was printing, which those of you in printing, even today, if you're selling $2.5 million, you're not doing too bad. This was 20 years ago I was doing that and running a business. So, but I had it in my head that I had no time to hunt anymore. And I'm also going to tell you that I also thought it was beneath me to be cold calling and hunting for business when I had $2.5 million coming in. And then one day DuPont, through no fault of mine, said, hey, man, we're going to be moving it on down to Wilmington, Delaware, and we have to use local vendors. That was almost $1 million in that one hit. I think it was $750,000, whatever it is. I had a Canadian company that was out here in New York pull up and go back to Canada, and I lost them. I had a variety of other things happen that would just, I mean, the only way that we can describe it was just crap luck. And I was not prepared. And I remember, and I don't ever want you guys to experience this, this feeling of just gloom and doom when I realized at that point that I had no pipeline. I had no prospects. I have nobody who, you know, I had met with or anything like that. Please don't ever put yourself in that position. It's just unnecessary. Next. You know, if and this is the other thing that I want you to think about. If you're spending a lot of your time with clients right now, because usually when we don't have time to hunt, it's usually because we're spending a lot of time with clients. And there's other reasons too, but let's just say that's the case. If you're spending a lot of time with clients anyway, why don't you start asking them for referrals? Because then at least, you know, think about that. Usually takes a lot less time to close that type of business. You don't have to go and find it. Somebody's basically saying, yeah, call my friend John. And, you know, better yet, you can even save more time. And you could say to them, if you don't mind, could you call them and facilitate an introduction for me? So you could save some time there. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that one. But, I mean, seriously, you should. The next thing that you might want to do is, and this is a really cool technique, and I want you guys to pay attention to this. Try utilizing the Pomodoro technique. It's called the Pomodoro technique. Now, I don't know how they came up with this number. I don't know if somebody threw like a dart at a board and it landed on the number 25, but the concept of the Pomodoro technique is that you set a timer, and some people say an egg timer, and I don't know, being that this is not like, I don't know, 1969 and I have a smartphone, I just hit the timer on my smartphone. And I set it for a designated period of time. Now, again, it doesn't have to be 25 minutes. I've done it 15 minutes. I've done it 45 minutes or whatever it is. I don't know this to be true, but I'm just guessing here. They may have come up with the number 25 because maybe it's like that's the perfect amount of time to be focused on something where you could be very, very productive. But here's the deal with the Pomodoro technique. What you do is you set the timer. Let's just say it's going to be for 25 minutes and you focus on an activity. The rule is, and it's a very strict rule, nothing else can happen during that time. So if you are going to be picking up the phone and making outbound calls, damn it, that is all you do. You do not send out an email. You don't go and fill out a bunch of stuff in Salesforce. You don't go talk to the boss about the TPS reports. You don't go and you've heard me say this expression before, dick around in the plant and anything like that. You are just focused. I mean, God forbid you have to go to the bathroom during that 25 minutes. I'm here to tell you, you like wear it depends and you go in your pants. I mean, it's like almost to that point. Not really, but I just really wanted to be dramatic and give you guys bad visuals today because then you'll never forget the damn thing, right? You're welcome. But anyway, what you do is you focus on that task. And then when the 25 minutes is up, you move on to something else. Now, there's two ways that this could work for you. Number one, could you, I mean, and be honest with me, and don't talk to your computer because that's just weird. Just like kind of like answer this like to yourself silently, like silent reading back when we were in school. Remember that? But anyway, and sitting Indian style. But what I want you to do is answer this question. Could you find 25 lousy minutes to pick up a phone or send some emails? I mean, come on. You've got to be able to find 25 minutes. It's really not a lot of time, but imagine if you could find a way to do that maybe every day. Oh, I don't know, from that time that you're going to free up doing that time tracking exercise that I know a lot of you aren't going to do because I don't have the time. How pathetic is that? Find the damn time. Do it. But anyway, but you could also do it the other way. With a lot of these things that are keeping you busy, maybe you could focus on them and take little 25-minute bites out of it, or 15-minute bites, or 30-minute bites. But you'll find, and this is what I found with it, is that you get this high level of urgency because you're like, I get real competitive. I'm looking at like the time, and I'm like, damn, I've got like 14 minutes left, man. I'm going to finish this. And you just work at just a more productive level. So consider doing that. And then the final tip that I have for you is to, and I haven't said this one too many times, but I have mentioned it to you guys before, is you might want to try my famous 2-2-2 formula. The 2-2 formula is something that you're going to do every single day. And it's just three sets of two here. That's why I said 2-2-2. The first set of two is every single day. I want you to send out two emails to two people that you have not done business with. And it could be kind of cold. It could be an intro. It could be maybe a follow-up. But two emails to two people that you are not doing business with right now. Can't be clients. Then what I want you to do every day is I want you to send out two pieces of snail mail to two people. You ready for this? You can see a trend here. To two people that you're not doing business with. Now, I want to stop right there for a minute. Those two things so far, the two emails and the two pieces of snail mail, do you have to do those during business hours? I mean, you could easily do that in the morning when you're having your coffee. You could do it later on at night before you watch the game. Before you watch The Walking Dead on Sunday nights. How about The Walking Dead, man? It's pretty like freaky stuff going on there. But anyway, don't get me going. But seriously, those are the two things so far. So before I give you the third one, quick review. Two emails, two people you're not doing business with. Two pieces of snail mail to two people you're not doing business with. And then two phone calls to two people that you're not doing business with. If you do that, that's six people a day right there that you are going to like kind of steal time, and you're going to have six more touches a day. Now, if you do six touches a day, it's sneaky. I'm being really, really sneaky here, man. I'm tricking you guys because it's six a day. It's not just six a day. It's 30 a week. But guess what? It's not just 30 a week. It's like 100 a month. No, that's not right. 120 a month. What the hell? I'm using the new math here. I'm sorry. What the hell? What did I... This is why, like, when you start approaching 50, not only should you be wearing bifocals, but, like, you should, like carry around a calculator. Like, I feel like an a-hole. But anyway, so, let me go back. Six a day, 30 a week. I'm trying to regain my composure here. 120 a month, and it's over 1,200 a year, and I just gave you 2 months off before you say it's the new math again. So, I just want to tell you, I mean, how the hell could you not be in better shape a year from now from having 1,200 additional touches that you practically did in your sleep? Because let's be honest, how much time are we talking about here to do two emails, two pieces of snail mail, and two phone calls every single day? But I want to be very clear about this. This is not a substitute for you blocking out time to hunt. You have to do it. But if you do this every single day, what this is going to do is it's going to keep your muscles in good shape. It's like, you know how it is when we miss time at the gym, right? Muscles get a little soft. Maybe we're huffing and puffing a little bit more. So you have to be able to do that. But anyway, there you have it, folks. I mean, there are six things for you to do, six ideas when you feel you don't have the time to hunt. Now, what I'd love to have happen, because I really want to make this interactive this week, I'd really like to hear your thoughts. I mean, what do you do when you don't have time to hunt? Maybe there's something you're doing that I didn't mention here. Would you do me a favor? Shoot me an email at paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, or you can go back to our show notes for this episode, and you can leave a comment by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/121, because this is episode 121. One more time, either email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, or visit the show notes, yoursalesplaybook.com/121. So that's it for this week, folks. Everything that you just learned is completely useless until you make a decision to do something with it. So I want you to get out there. I want you to get your arms around this. Give it a shot. Let me know what's working, what's not working. Take care, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.